Belinda and Harper Audio Australia present this unabridged recording of Flame Tree Hill, written by Mandy Magro and read by Miranda Nation. About the author. Mandy Magro lives in Cairns, far north Queensland, with her daughter Chloe Rose. With pristine aqua blue coastline in one direction and sweeping rural landscapes in the other, she describes her home as heaven on earth. A passionate woman and a romantic at heart, she loves writing about soul-deep love, the Australian rural way of life, and all the wonderful characters who live there. Dedication. For my beautiful mate, Katie. Prologue. Loud country music blared from the speakers of the Commodore as it roared down the darkened road. The four teenagers within were in high spirits, bantering as they drove home. The paddock party to celebrate the end of high school had been massive. A night to remember, full of excited conversations of what the future would hold now that their school years were behind them. Be it uni, jobs in the city, or a more permanent role helping run the family properties around Hidden Valley. At 4 in the morning, the country roads were deserted, apart from the occasional kangaroo. One bounced across the road ahead, causing the driver to swerve a little. The dangers of drink driving had been drummed into everyone at school, and by their parents. But what could go wrong on a long dirt road with no other traffic for miles? "Fucking hell, look out!" someone yelled from the back seat. An enormous bull stood meters away from the speeding car, its eyes wide in the headlights. The panicked driver swerved to avoid a collision, and the Commodore spun wildly out of control on the dirt road. The passengers screamed in terror while the driver fought to regain control. Within seconds, their lives were hanging by a thread. An earth-shuddering crash was instantly followed by the crunching of metal as the car flipped onto its roof and slammed into a massive gum tree. Then, just as abruptly, everything fell silent, the pungent smell of leaking fuel filling the air. Slowly, the driver's eyes opened on the horrific scene. Was it possible they had all miraculously made it through alive? And how long was it going to take for someone to find them? Chapter 1. Kirsty Mitchell tidied up her paperwork and switched off the desk lamp, groaning with fatigue as she pulled on her bulky woolen jacket. She glanced out of her 15th floor office window, dismayed that there wasn't even a flicker of sunlight left to brighten her monotonous day. It was 5:30 in the afternoon, but the sun had clocked off hours ago, leaving night to fall like a thick shroud. The darkness made her feel as though she was suffocating at times. She would have given her right arm to see at least an hour of sunshine a day. But her demanding job as a secretary at a solicitor's firm meant she was in the office before daybreak. And when she finally walked out the doors at the end of the day, there were only shadows cast by the street lamps lining Fleet Street to greet her. Even though Kirsty had lived in the UK for over a year, she still wasn't used to the lack of vitamin D and was beginning to understand how people could suffer from seasonal affective disorder, otherwise known as SAD. Not that she was overly depressed, just sick and tired of the dreary, bleak winter. It wasn't in her nature to be stuck in an office all day long, or wearing a posh suit, high heels, pantyhose and makeup. But here she was, in the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?